located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Surf and Sirloin can handle anywhere from 15 to 150 people with a menu full of USDA prime beef entrees, 15 seafood specials, and top it off with New York-style cheesecake with strawberries or creme brulee. Call Surf and Sirloin 822-3637 or check them out online, surfandsirloin.com.
Hi everyone, Iggy here to tell you about the fine folks down at Bertarelli.
Now hold on, Iggy. Not trying to interrupt here, but I'm doing Bertarelli cutlery.
Well, you just did interrupt me as always.
Well, you know what? Whatever.
Do you have the address there?
I do. If you let me finish, Bertarelli Cutlery, 1927 Marconi Avenue on the Hill to get your knives, scissors, and garden tools sharpened. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives. Bertarelli Cutlery, they never interrupt you like Iggy does.
Hey, it's Denise from the Appliance Discounters here to tell you that our friends at Speed Queen have done it again. They are now offering an impeccable wash and dependability without a transmission. These heavy-duty washers are driven by a full-horsepower motor and tested to last up to 25 years in your home. Speed Queen is so confident with their washers that their warranties have been extended to 5 to 7 years, parts and labor. This coverage is worth $400 and it's free. New and improved Speed Queen laundry at the lowest price at any of our 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
The Blues are back in action, and what better way to start the season off than a trip to the Post Sports Bar and Grill. During every Thursday and Friday Blues game, stop by any Post location for your chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Blues game. The Post Sports Bar welcomes you with amazing home team specials, including $3.75 22-ounce domestic drafts and wells during every Blues game. This season, show up in your Blues gear and save 10% off regular priced menu items. The Post Sports Bar and Grill. Stay posted, my friends.
Astonish your friends, guests, or clients with an elegant Saddleback chocolate creation of dark, milk, white premium chocolate. Saddleback chocolates are available for monogram wedding gifts, corporate logoed events, and personalized gifts. Saddleback chocolates, handcrafted, classically stylish, and exquisitely packaged. Chocolate is the answer, no matter what the question. Find your answer at Strop's Market and SaddlebackChocolates.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. We are excited to bring you the Home Loan Expert 5-Minute Loan Approval. That's right. Whether you're looking to refinance or buy a home, 5-Minute Loan Approval is at thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
In case you're late to the party, I didn't hear the terrible news. Rapper Lil Xan has had his concert scheduled for tonight at the Pageant canceled. I am furious, as I'm sure many of you are. I'd say I don't want to talk about it anymore. Scott Sherman's in the house. He'll be here in just a moment, walking into the studio to take your questions. I'm going to do a bit of business. Take about a minute while I do that. Please make a note of these phone numbers, because you need to call now if you want to call Scott, talk to Scott Sherman to get some free legal advice. He is an attorney, a real attorney, passed the bar and everything. 314-821-0590. That's 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. First Community Credit Union.
Oh, come on in. No problem.
Yeah, just walking right in while we're on the air. Like,
in the middle of a commercial,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. By now you think you'd know better. First Community Credit Union has a new home line of credit. It's called the First Line Home Equity Line of Credit. And it's a tremendous rate. It's an introductory rate of 2.99% APR. That's for the first 12 months. And I want to be clear about that, because I hear commercials all the time and see them for lending institutions, and they sort of bury the fact that this rate is for this long, and then it's another rate. No, they're not burying anything, because it's actually a terrific deal. Normally, when they open up at like 2.99, it's for 3 months or something. This is for the first year, and rates are going up. This morning in USA Today, another article, boom, another bump in the rates, which is, they say, one of the reasons the stock market took a hit today, because the rates are going up. So 2.99 for the next year is a terrific deal, and if you want to take advantage of it, you need to do so before the end of the year, and the end of the year is not that far away. It's called the First Line Home Equity Line of Credit. There are no closing costs. There are no annual fees. And if you want to do some home renovations before the holidays and need the money to do it, this is for you. 2.99% APR for the first 12 months. First Community Credit Union, where I do all of my banking, all of it, and proud to say that I do and have for several years now. Over 40 locations. Largest credit union in the St. Louis area, and you can find out more at firstcommunity.com. Oh, you have to harmonize. I love this.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
It's Thursday.
Well, see, I didn't really
every Thursday. We welcome Scott Sherman to the studio. Here's proof that he's here. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great, friend.
See? There he is. Now, I see that people are calling. Good for you. You're finally catching on to how this works. Now, remember, too, when a caller hangs up, that means a line is open. One more time for the numbers, and then we'll jump in here. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I don't mean to just give you that an abrupt and a hello, but how are you today?
Doing fine.
All right, then that's all we need. Now we're done. Off we go to the phones. Mike called first, so Mike goes first. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Mike.
I need to ask you a question. What is the best way to get my daughter on our house so that when we pass away, it doesn't have to go through probate, it would just go directly to her?
That's real easy. And Scott will tell you that technically what it's called with a, I know when a license like a, to a car, it's called a TOD, transfer on death. I'm pretty sure there's exactly that same kind of thing with a home, but now here to straighten me out and tell you the real facts is Scott Sherman.
He's right. It's called joint tenant with right of survivorship. It can be done without probate. It can be done without a lawyer, but I think that you should have a real estate lawyer walk through the change in that title and have it recorded with the recorder of deeds. It's very simple. And it's very important.
And it's a very smart thing to do.
And very smart.
You're smart to ask about it.
And if there's still a mortgage on the house, that doesn't make any difference?
No. You know, you're still responsible for that, but you don't have to.
Well, she is in that case, if it transferred
right.
to her.
Yeah, but for right now, they, you know, you're making the payments, you're on the mortgage, that's fine. She doesn't have an interest, she hasn't. Well, she would have an expectancy interest if she passed away before you guys.
But the lender doesn't care who makes the payment.
No.
They don't care.
As long as the payment's made. So,
right. So it doesn't matter if the mortgage is there. If we would pass away, I mean, I'd have enough so you could pay the house off, and then the house would just go directly to her.
That's right. And then there's an issue. Sometimes people get in an issue where they'll put somebody on, and they're not on the mortgage, and there's still a mortgage left. She could repledge that. Or pay it off.
Or she can refinance if the rates have gone down. She can do a refinance, too. Do whatever she wants.
Yep. It's a great device. And not every state has that. Missouri does. Missouri case?
That's what I was going to say. Does Florida have that also?
They have Homestead. So they play so many games with their real estate down there that, you know, I think they do. There's only a handful of states that don't.
Okay.
So
I'll look on the internet. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But so it's joint right of.
It's no. JTWRS, joint tenant with right of survivorship.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll look that up. Thank you very much,
Mike. Thank you for listening. We appreciate that. Okay.
Thanks.
There you go.
If you need a real estate person, send me an email. I got one.
All right. Okay. I will.
All right. I didn't ask if he knew your address. I just assumed he did, or he would have said, what's your email address?
That's right.
That closes a phone line, which means there's one open. That closes a call, which means the line is open. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Dave is next. Dave, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. I'm aiming to be in.
Thank you.
Frank, I'm actually on my way to St. Louis from Overland Park, Kansas, down from your daughter.
Oh, right. Yeah. She does live in Overland Park. You live there?
Well, I live about 15 minutes down the road in a town called Lee Summit, Missouri, on the other side of the state line.
Yeah, I know where it is. Sure. How can Scott help you?
Well, I recently I work in a restaurant, and I'm a waiter, and I work for tips, cash tips, and I need those tips. I recently gave my 3-week written notice to my employer. Now, granted, I have worked there for over 3 years, had a set schedule for those 3 years, the same exact shifts, what and whatnot. My employer decided to say, you know what, I'm just going to take you off of the schedule, and you can try to pick up shifts and make that money until you decide to leave. And I wondered if there was anything legally I could do to say, hey, I should be on the schedule and not having to try to work for those last 3 weeks.
All right, my answer, layman's answer, is no. There's not a thing you can do about it, but here's Scott.
Do you work in Kansas or Missouri?
I think Kansas.
Missouri.
Oh, Missouri.
I live in Lee Summit, Missouri.
Okay, well, then I think I'm pretty confident in this answer. There's nothing you can do about it.
It doesn't matter either way. Both states are horse manure on this issue. We are right to, well, not right to work, but we are at-will employment states. If you don't have a contract or you're not in a union, you are out the door, SOL. Yeah. And that's not good business, and I hope that when you leave, you let, in the next 3 weeks, all of your regulars know where you're going, if you're staying in the service industry, in the restaurant industry, and that every one of them leave. And then every single one of them goes with you, because you're a lot like a hairstylist or something. A lot of people will go to restaurants because of the service they get, and there's such poor service in the restaurant world these days, that good service is like unbelievable service, and I'll bet you'll be just fine. And in the next 3 weeks, use it as free advertising to promote yourself at your next venture till they hear about it and then they fire you.
Yeah, if they overhear you with a customer going, by the way, I'm going to be going down there. Yeah, they'll kick you out of there, but do it as long as you can, because here's the thing. I know people who change restaurants when they hear that the chef moved or they hear that their favorite waiter moved. It happens all the time. And if you've got a bunch of customers who really like you, and I would imagine you do, absolutely tell them where you're going, because you're not under contract or there's nothing about your employment agreement that will prevent you from doing that, except that if they overhear it, they'll go, all right, hit the door. But do it while you can.
Maybe I can file unemployment then.
If they fire you.
Yeah, they have to fire you. But you're leaving on your own, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, good luck at your new job. What kind of restaurant do you work? Is that like a highfalutin five-star, or is it a...
It's a high-volume Tex-Mex.
Okay. Well, good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dave. Thank you. Line just opened. Just opened.
It's a scary thing for people that work for tips.
That's very
scary.
To
have them tell you you're going to have the terrible shifts, because almost all your money comes from the kind of work that you're doing for the people on the good-paying shifts.
What they're trying to do is punish him for bettering himself. You know, you should never punish somebody because they took a better opportunity, but they do. Right. They do. The employer goes, oh, really? Well, I'll show you. I'll make you miserable for the little time you have left here, as opposed to saying, you know what? If we can do anything, recommend it, good luck to you. You've been a great employee. No, they choose to do.
Especially a guy that's giving him notice. I mean, everything has a run. You know, everybody has their run. And if this was a good relationship and the restaurant made money off of his services and benefited from his goodwill out there in the community, you know what? Shake his hand and say thank you for what you did, because you never know what he's going to turn into. He may want to go and have a big venture, but it really shows the lack of character of his bosses to, like you said, punish him for
this. You just said something very important. In the same way that, because it's an at-will work state, they can fire you at the drop of the hat because they don't like your hairdo, you can walk out and go, I'm gone right now. He didn't have to get 3 weeks' notice.
That's right.
So good for him. That's the smart way to do it, and the, you know, let's not burn any bridges way to do it. The line is open, obviously, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. By the way, if you have a waiter or waitress, a server, I think we're supposed to call them servers now. I don't want to be sexist. That you really like, always take care of them. Don't nitpick over this. Well, that's not 15%. That's 16%. Do 20%. Okay? Take care of them so that they won't leave. If they have enough people like you, they'll always be there for you. They'll stay. They won't have to leave. Get Brian in here. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, how you guys doing? AM and PM.
Thank you. We're doing great.
Yeah, I've never had this happen to me, but like on Highway 94 along the Katy Trail, I'm not a big fan of bicyclists, sorry to say, but so that, you know, there are stop signs where the trail hits 94, but now they put a crosswalk in on 94 with the stop signs for the bicyclists. In other words, the trail's got stop signs in both directions, but now there's a crosswalk on 94. So my question is, if you're driving on 94, do you have to slam on your brakes if a guy decides just to bike out right out in front of cars doing 55 miles an hour because there's a crosswalk there?
My answer to that would be no, you don't have to slam on your brakes, but I'm probably wrong here, Scott.
No, Frank's right. There are crosswalks where they have a pedestrian kind of walking in a yellow thing. They have one in Del Mar. They have some of these other places. Don't you dare stop on 94 or you will get killed. I don't care what they say. And I also don't think it's the law that on a federal highway, or that's a state highway.
Don't have the right to just dart.
No, and here's the thing. Bikers, because I get the text from the bikers. They hate bikers. Yeah, I do, but I don't hate them all.
Okay, here's what's interesting about these bikers that Brian's talking about. Anytime we talk about them in any sort of negative way, you get these hate emails, but it's just only from those bikers. Everybody else goes, yeah, I'm with you.
Right. But here's the law. This is not my opinion. This is the law. Bicyclists must follow the rules of the road. Get off the sidewalk. That's not the law. You stay as far to the right in the flow of traffic going in the same direction as you can. And for God's sakes, take off those ridiculous outfits.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
You are not Lance Johnson or Lance Armstrong.
You're not even Lance Johnson.
No. That's right. Boy, that would be painful. Lance Johnson. Think about that, Frick.
Yeah, I lanced my Johnson. I stepped on the pedal. Yeah. My foot was wet, and I lanced my Johnson.
Well, my question is, why have the crosswalk on the highway? I mean, that's my last question. So I've seen cars, they're all slowing down now because they see this crosswalk. It's crazy. It's 55-mile-an-hour highway.
It's crazy, and I wouldn't do it. And I don't care what the highway patrolman writes you a ticket for.
But why would they have it there?
It makes no sense. But there's a stop sign going on the Katy Trail
track. Both directions.
Well, the stop sign is this. You stop, and you have to wait for traffic to clear. So in the battle of rock, paper, scissors, the stop sign is inferior to that crosswalk. I wouldn't stop on 94, ever, except at a red light if I had enough room. I'd get killed. So if they have a stop sign, that presumes that they do not have the right of way and they must wait until it's safe to cross. So screw them. Drive.
Yeah, I'm just scared of a litigious bicyclist, and there are many, many of them, trust me, that they'll just be waiting and waiting.
Well, don't hit them. Don't hit them.
I'll try not to, but I mean, I'm not going to try to, but I just figured that somebody's going to stage something and purposely.
Well, the way to handle that is if you hit them, just make sure you kill them, then they can't sue you. I'm kidding.
I don't want to do that.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
It's not a terrible idea.
It's a joke. All right, Brian, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for the call. Okay, now we got another line open. 314-821-0590. 855-282-8255. Richard, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. Hey,
hello,
Frank. How are you guys doing?
Good, Richard. How are you?
Fine. I do have a question for Scott. The step bicyclist call is right. Those arrogant SOBs are absolutely out of control. They are so, they don't stop for any stop signs, period. They don't obey the rules of the road that they expect you to extend to them. And I had like a dude that I was going down Oakland, and he's, of course, acting like a car going 20 miles an hour. So I go around him. Well, he was beside himself. So I pull up in front of where I live, and he actually pulls down and circles back around to chastise me for pulling around them. And, of course, out in front of my house were these, you know, three construction workers that I'm friends with who work on our building. and I'm talking to them when he pulls up, and it's, of course he's got the standard outfit on.
Yeah.
Those
shiny pants and that ugly duck butt helmet that they wear. That aerodynamic helmet, like they're going to be doing 40 miles an hour.
Right. The only thing missing was his boyfriend. And
wow.
So these guys, not that I needed those guys, you know, to support me, but he's like, hey, who do you think? I'm like, hey, what the hell is wrong with you? Get away from me. Get out of my face. Or this, and he whips out his cell phone to try and take a picture. I mean, it was just absurd.
Oh, my
God.
But,
I mean, that's how it is. I mean, they're not happy with you just going. They want you to stay behind them and treat them like a car because technically they're allowed to be in the front. Whereas we all know they're nothing but an impediment to traffic. They should be on the far right.
That's actually the law. They're supposed to be on the far right. And this, as bad as bicyclists are on the rules of the road, and they are terrible, and I have seen them go through red lights at major intersections, stop signs, motorcycle riders are usually the best at the rules of the road. And
yes,
essentially,
absolutely.
It's the same amount of safety, not very much.
The difference is...
And they have a respect, and they've also been trained when you take a motorcycle class in order to get that designation, that they know and respect the rules of the road.
Okay, here's the other difference. Motorcyclists can actually keep up with the flow of the traffic. They're not causing you to hold back and do 15 miles an hour for the next mile till you can finally get around them. That motorcyclists don't create that problem. And for the life of me, I don't understand why people on bicycles are allowed to ride on a road like the one that runs in front of my house. I'm out in the country. It's a narrow country road. And if you're behind one of them, good luck. Unless you get a straightaway and you can tell nobody's coming, you may be doing 15 miles an hour for a little while. And I don't know why that's illegal.
It's not. It shouldn't be. And now with these bicycles, you can hook it up to a flat-screen TV and a fan, and you can basically be outside in your living room or in the basement. I don't know why you would risk getting killed, and it can really happen, by going out there and disobeying the rules of the road. If they get out and somebody hurts them, I'll be there waiting for them to be their lawyer. But most of the bicyclists that I have seen, do not have any respect for the rules of the road.
You biker, you motorcycle, bicycle people, don't email me. We're not talking about every one of you, but you know who you are. And I live on one of those perfect roads for the bicycle people. The foliage is beautiful. It's country, autumn, the leaves are beautiful. Here's the deal. There is an arrogance about a lot of them. They know you're behind them. And sometimes, honest to goodness, I think they deliberately are thinking, see how long I can slow this guy up? Because there's plenty of more room on the right to get over, and they're not getting over. Some of them
are
arrogant.
And the rule is as far to the right as is safe. That's the rule. I didn't write the rule. The legislature did. And if you're playing games with people on a bike or with a car or a truck and you make a mistake, you're in deep trouble.
And by the way, you bicycle people who don't have a mirror, you're the ones I really don't like, because you're talking to your buddy, you can't hear because you got the goofy helmet on, and you have no idea I'm behind you because you don't have a mirror.
And,
put a mirror.
And earplugs now, too.
Yeah.
Music. They got to listen to music.
Music. So how about a mirror so you can see that I'm behind you?
And that's distracted riding.
Yeah.
And it's so dangerous.
Right.
I mean, we'll make fun of them because they look stupid. I mean, they just look absolutely
right.
Ridiculous.
As long as we're talking about it, but I know other people are holding. I'd like to. Richard said something about his boyfriend, and it's not a gay bashing comment, but I know exactly what he's saying. Can they not make a more manly bicycle outfit than the ones that I'm not kidding? Everyone looks like some ballet dancer would wear these shiny blue, yellow. How about
I'm gonna say this,
some manly bike outfit?
Yoga pants are for Kate Hudson.
Thank you.
And that's it.
Thank you.
I meant that metaphorically, not homophobically. It's like, really? Right.
Yeah. Well, I know exactly what you meant.
He was tippy-toe.
And let me say...
Okay, my question...
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
My question for Scott was completely different. It's just, if someone's trying to repair their credit and go about doing that, like, in the most, like, responsible way, but not getting a runaround, what was your best suggestion to do it? Do you do it through an attorney? Do you just...
That is like very interesting that you mentioned it. Send me an email. There's a group of guys, I think one of them's an attorney, who have gone about coming up with a company that actually challenges credit reporting agencies. This is one of the most difficult things you can do. Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, they're all based in Guatemala and Honduras and stuff. But there's a legal way to challenge things that are on your credit. It's actually through the Fair Debt Credit Reporting Act or Practices Act. And these guys have set up a company, and I'm not pitching for them, but I don't even remember the name of their place. But I know someone who had very poor credit on his credit report. He hired them, and these things were challenged legally, and they came off. So, yes, I would say a lawyer, not a credit repair place, because most of those places are tied in with credit card companies, and they will all they'll do is refinance the debt, and you end up paying a lot more. So my view is that if you've got dings on your credit history and you want to challenge them, I think it would be worthwhile to hire lawyers who specialize in that to do it. And I also know a guy who's a consumer lawyer who sues companies that put things illegally on people's credit or unfairly. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Richard, do you have Scott's email address?
No.
You don't?
I'm among the 90% that if I try and say his email address, I'm going to have it wrong.
Well, I'd like to hear you get it wrong. No, we like to make fun of people that get it wrong. Go ahead. What's his email address?
All right, Scott Sherman.
No! Now, wow. No, you did. You warned us. Go ahead, Scott.
BicycleHatingLawyer.com.
No.
It's Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Richard.
Great show as usual.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Now, I want to ask Carol because she's next. Carol, would you give me permission to take this to like a couple minute break to get some business done, and then you'll be next. Would you let me do that?
Sure, babe.
Listen to that. Listen to this woman. Yeah. Hey. And by the way, I can hear it in her voice. Carol, you got the hots for me, don't you?
I should.
Told you. Put her on hold. Don't let her go. Put her on hold. Okay. A week from this Saturday night. First of all, thank you to those of you who have emailed me and said, oh my goodness, we're going to go see this concert if you're going to host a concert. I appreciate that because I haven't done anything like that for over 25 years, and I'm going to do it. I'm not charging to do it. I'm doing it for nothing because it gives me an opportunity to sort of get the time machine and go back to what was the very best of my radio career, and that's when I was involved in country music radio. So a week from this Saturday, the 20th of October, at the Family Arena in St. Charles, you're going to essentially get three concerts for the price of one, and it's a reasonable price at that. The show will open with Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin Brothers. Then there'll be a little intermission. And then Tanya Tucker comes out, and then there'll be a little intermission. And then the Oak Ridge Boys come out. This is going to be a terrific show. It would be worth the price of the tickets if it were just one of those acts. Tickets are 50, 60, 70, or 80 bucks. That's three concerts, basically, for that price. There are still great seats available. I wish there weren't, and I hope there won't be by the time we're into the middle of next week. So once again, it is a week. Oh, and the website, and this is all you need to find out everything you need to know and get your tickets, is familyarena.com, familyarena.com. And again, it's a week from this coming Saturday, October 20th. 7 o'clock it starts till 10:30. 3.5 hours with two intermissions. That's a lot of show for 50 to 80 bucks. Doors open at 6. Things start at 7. That's probably, I guess, when I walk out. They haven't given me the specifics of that yet. But I look forward to seeing any and all of you who happen to be a part of what I used to do in the 80s and 90s. And do me a favor, because I'll be a nervous wreck. When I walk out there, just jump out of your seats screaming and yelling. And if 10 of you do it, okay, I'm good with that. I'm sort of kidding and sort of not. Family Arena, week from Saturday, October 20th. FamilyArena.com for more information about Larry Gatlin, the Gatlin Brothers, Tanya Tucker, and the Oak Ridge Boys. FamilyArena.com.
Time for a check on traffic. Here's Tory Lyons. Traffic is sponsored by Nature Valley. Solid eastbound 64 between Vandeventer and the Poplar Street Bridge. Or slow eastbound 70 from 170 to Lucas and Hunt. They cleared the accident in Illinois eastbound 70 at the 64 split. Still seeing volume eastbound on the Museo Veterans Bridge. A crash east and westbound 30 at Northwest Boulevard. Westbound 4064, you're stacking up from Winghaven up 270. When you unwrap a Nature Valley granola bar, you know what you see? Granola. That's because their ingredients are right there. The only thing you can't see is how much you'll love it. So for energy that goes where you go, try a snack from Nature Valley. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
You walk through the door and are greeted with the friendly smell of barbecue smacking you right in the face. A pleasant host seats you at a table made of wood and a chair made of wood on a floor made of wood. We perfectly carve a chunk of meat from a bigger chunk of meat. Pavlovian pre-sweat dots your brow and the world melts away as you drift into a meat coma. Wait, was that just Pauly Shore? Welcome to Salt and Smoke.
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
TMA Lives provide a great opportunity to watch and participate live with the morning after, as well as enjoying fellowship of the other TMA Lemmings like yourself. This month, TMA Live is on October 25th, the Hot Shots in South County. Come out, enjoy great specials on Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and some TMA-themed menu items. Doug the Cat and I will be there, will you? That's this month, TMA Live at Hot Shots in South County on October 25th.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with a service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
It's Thursday, which means Scott Sherman is with us, and now we pick up with part two. And I promised Carol, there's one line open, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. And I promised Carol she'd be next, and man of my word. And here now is Carol. Carol, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Frank.
Carol?
Yeah, I tried forever to get through on that 590 number, and I couldn't, so I switched to the other one.
Well, I'm glad you made it. How can Scott help you?
Okay, I have a TOD with Stephen Nicholas for some smart, not a large portfolio, but some stocks. Does that will that include my house, or do I need to get a separate TOD?
I'll take a run at this. It's not even called a TOD for the house, but yes, you do need a separate one. It's what we talked about earlier, a joint tenant with right of survivorship. I think, and I can be wrong, you need to make that separate. Scott?
Frank's right. You can also have a beneficiary deed, which then will transfer upon your death, but stocks, those are securities, and a house, property, that's real estate. They're two different types of property, and if you want that to transfer over when you pass and avoid probate, which everyone does, get with a real estate lawyer or with your, if you have an estate lawyer, and have that non-probate transfer, either the joint tenant with right of survivorship or some kind of beneficiary deed drafted up.
And Carol, if you want to do something original and different that no one else has ever done, that will set you apart from the rest of the crowd, you could leave.
Ooh, that sounds just like me.
Well, then you could leave your house to me, because no listener has ever done that. And you.
Okay, well, you got it, Frank.
That was easy.
Count on that. I'm your perfect age.
Oh, hey, saving lives.
I'm on the house.
I like it.
Was there?
But I'm planning on moving in about a year. Should I even bother to do that?
Well,
stuff now.
Yeah,
because you could get hit by a truck tomorrow.
Yep.
Of course you should.
Do what you want to do now.
Yeah.
It's not expensive.
Sometimes there are lots of people in this world who every day who say, "Oh my goodness, if only I had," and then fill in the blank. If only I had just don't be one of those people. Just do it. And then if you move, you do it with the next house.
And Carol, for folks that say the words portfolio, it's not gonna break you. I can tell you that.
Now, if you have a portfolio, you'll be all right.
You'll be okay.
Yeah.
You'll handle it.
Well, it's just several hundred thousand dollars.
Several hundred thousand, yes. Put me on that, too.
Yeah, you'll be okay. This will be maybe several hundred dollars.
The cost you to do it right.
Yeah, it's smart to do.
All right.
Okay, because I have a lot of repairs for the house, so I just want to dump it, and I'm going to be moving in with my older son.
Okay.
That really is irrelevant.
It might be something where you need a consult with an estate lawyer more than a real estate lawyer. If you're looking to kind of figure out what to do with your estate and you don't know what to do with that, you might want to sit down.
Yeah, I want to protect my stuff for my kids.
Got it.
But
if you don't have
enough to live off of,
do you have someone that does that or has done that for you?
No, sir, I do not.
Send me an email.
Please don't ask me to repeat your email address, Frank.
Could you give us Scott's email address, please? See, the worst thing you can do is ask us not to do something. No, I'm kidding. You don't have to.
That's exactly why I did it, Frank. Your new Bernice.
Are you? No, you don't have to. You don't have to do that. But if you are you able to email Scott? You can do that, right?
I can look it up.
Okay, it's on our
Facebook. I'm in my car right now. I pulled over just so I could call you guys.
Well, thank you. And if you go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AMandThePM, it's all there. All Scott's information is there. And if you can't find it or get lost, or just email me. Mine's easy, and I'll send it to you. It's just frankopinion@yahoo.com. That's easy.
Okay, I got that.
All right. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Carol, thank you for listening.
I just wanted to get off the bike list. No pun intended.
Oh, well, you changed the course of our conversation, and that's fine. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She's got that whiskey laugh.
Yeah.
That smoker whiskey laugh. All right, line's open because Carol is gone. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Ken, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hey, good, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Frank and the gang, Amy on the PM.
Thank you, Ken.
Hey, I got just two quick questions. The guy who brought up the traffic stuff with the crosswalk and everything like that, I live in Illinois, and it just seems like there's a lot of construction always going on in the interstates. Is it against the law to drive the normal speed limit when there's no construction workers present?
Ooh, that's a really good question, because I see those signs up all the time, reduced speed, construction ahead. I'm going to say yes, it is against the law, and you can be ticketed unless there's a sign posted that said between the hours of and because the road could still be in disrepair. It could still be in the middle of something, even though they're not working on it. I would say, yes, you still have slow down unless there are hours posted. Here's Scott.
I think Frank's right. Illinois is pretty good at those sort of mobile signs for traffic. And if they limit the construction speed limit to a certain time, then that's the time. Otherwise, as long as that construction equipment in that construction zone is operable, then you have to do the speed limit. There was a case over here in Chesterfield where it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and you wouldn't expect people to be doing road work then, and a guy killed one of the interns that was working on the crew because he was driving too fast for the conditions. So is it possible that you can drive the speed limit, not the reduced speed limit? Yeah, but as a lawyer, I'm an Illinois lawyer too, I'm not going to tell you to do that unless that sign that is in front of the construction site tells you what the time limits are.
Here's the deal. I don't think it matters if it's Missouri or Illinois. I'll tell you a real quick story, Ken. This is several years ago, but I used to work in the morning, and I would get up at 4:30. I had to be on the air at 6. So when I jumped on the highway where I live, and I got on 40, there was virtually nobody much on the road, and I got stopped one morning. I was doing 88 in what I thought was 60, 65. I was still speeding, but I got ticketed for 88 in a 40 because it was 5 o'clock in the morning. But it was a construction area, and the cop made it very clear to me. It didn't matter what time it is. It says construction zone, slow down, here's the speed limit. And, buddy, did he hit me big for 88 and a 40. So I would say, yeah, slow down.
Okay. It just seems like there's just so much construction all over the place.
I know.
Every time I drive through, there's nobody there.
Especially if you go out west of 64, you get to almost to Mount Vernon. That always seems to be under construction.
I wish they would put up, if it's not, after the hours of whatever, when they can, unless the road's not really finished yet or something. I wish they would put that up. Because
they should do
that. Have to go that
and
slow.
There are mobile traffic instruction signs on the Illinois side of the river, and pay attention to those. But I wouldn't go anywhere over the construction speed limit.
Yeah, because there are cops that will sit off in the dark knowing that somebody will think, well, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'll just fly through here, and boom, they're waiting for you.
And if there's no traffic, you're not really saving any time by going 55 versus going 70. It's not worth hitting somebody and killing them. I mean, that would be the worst of the worst.
All right.
Another quick question.
Sure.
This is more of a personal type issue, but about 6 years ago, I went through some personal issues and called a buddy of mine and had made suicidal threats, and I had weapons in my house, and the cops came. Took me to a mental institution. I've held a job down for 27 years, but they took all my guns and they removed my FOID card. Do you know what the process is for me to get that back? I obviously want to protect my family. Like I said, I'm still employed. I didn't get fired. It wasn't anything like that. It was just it was a very personal time in my life where I obviously wasn't feeling well, and never been a murderer, or never had a crime against me. I have no record whatsoever.
I'm going to give this right to Scott. I think this is going to cost you a few bucks, but it's going to be worth it, because if a psychiatrist or whoever treated you or anybody can sign off on the fact that you are mentally stable and healthy and that's behind you, I would certainly think you could get those rights back to have a gun. But here's Scott.
I agree. I think you could petition the court to get an order for that, whatever that is, to be lifted. And it may be a hearing. It might be something in the probate court. It may be public for a while. But I think that if you're at a place where you and your medical professionals believe that you're fine to handle firearms for the reason that you stated, or some other legal reason, I think you should go for it. When's the last time you applied to get a permit?
I haven't since that time, and it's been like 6 years. But I mean, just with the way things are today, I want to be able to protect my family.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you do a date stamp in time, not expecting you're going to get it, but make an application at a licensed gun store for a permit. See if you get denied, and then if you do, then use that denial as the basis for petitioning the court to get it back. That way you have something that's more recent that says you can't get it.
But I will need a lawyer for that.
I think you should have one, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Ken, are you okay now?
Psychologically,
you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I hold a 40-hour a week job and...
Well, whether you realize it or not, you've just done a tremendous public service, because there are people listening who need to hear what you just said. Before you get on the phone to somebody, and unless you're just in a state where you can't control or think before you say that, like anything else, think about the repercussions of threatening something like that, because you're still paying for it. And sure. People need to know that there are consequences for it. You didn't do anything. It didn't horrible. You just sort of made a threat against yourself, and they did it to protect you and your family. But people need to think. And I understand that sometimes you're in a state of mind where you don't think right. Your life is screwed up, and what the heck? I get that. But somebody may think twice now that they've heard you before they verbalize something like that. So
sure.
Good luck to you. And if you need Scott, do you know his email address?
LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
He's fine. He's That's fine.
Right. Yeah. Either that or he's not.
No, he's fine. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
All right. What I have to do here is I have to do one quick bit of business, and then when I come back, if we have time, we'll grab another call. If we don't have time, we won't. Limey, do you have any other business or just me?
No, just you, sir.
I'll do this quick thing. We'll jump in and get at least one more in here, I think. Mark Reardon and Jason Becker are financial advisors with Stifel. Stifel is a member of the SIPC and the NYSC. These guys give financial advice. They don't force you to do anything. They don't hard sell you to do anything. They just offer their opinion and their advice. You can take it or not take it. And if you have $25,000 or more, my advice would be meet with them. My advice is not to do what they tell you. That's for you to decide. It's to meet with them. I can tell you without getting into any kind of trouble, because I won't get specific, that years ago, I decided to see them and go to them and seek out their advice on financial stuff. And that's all I can say. If you say any more and you get in big trouble, and they go, well, people want to know the specifics of what stocks did you buy. No. I just want you to know that, like everything else I talk about, when I talk the talk, I like to walk the walk. And I am more than comfortable with both of these guys, or one at a time, Mark Reardon, Jason Becker, and I think you will be too. You can do all this yourself if you want to. You don't ever have to get financial advice from anybody, ever. There is no law. There are laws that say you have to pay taxes, but there's no law that says you have to meet with somebody who can hopefully help you hang on to as much of your money as you can, and even more, hopefully help you make it grow with the right kind of investments. Whether you're a more aggressive investor or a very conservative, they work with both types. You just need $25,000 or more that you are investing or you have to invest. MarkandJason.com. I think if we move quickly, we can get Bob in here. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. We got about 3 minutes. That should be enough. 2 minutes. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott Sherman, how you doing? Great. Hockey Bob here.
Hey, hi, buddy. Before.
Yes, sir. Hey, really quick, I consider myself a fairly intelligent guy, and I want you to tell me if you think my reasoning is faulty, okay? I don't wear a seatbelt, and the reason I don't wear a seatbelt is because I feel constrained. Now, I'm almost 59 years old, and I grew up and started driving back in the days before seatbelt laws were enacted. My understanding of laws are that laws are created to protect people from other people, not to protect people from themselves. So in my mind, I think seatbelt laws should not be, I think seatbelts should be optional. I think the legal system should force anybody to wear a seatbelt until such time that somebody flies through the windshield not wearing a seatbelt and injures somebody else. Do I seem logical on that or not?
Can I do this? It doesn't matter what you seem. It is the law, so it doesn't matter. Okay,
yeah,
I think
laws.
I don't like helmet laws. I'm a motorcycle guy and have been. I don't like helmet laws. Do I know it's smart to wear a helmet? You bet I do. I don't like a helmet. I like the freedom and the feel of no helmet. Doesn't matter what I think. Where it's the law, it's the law.
That's not my point. My point is laws were created to protect people from other people. Wearing a seatbelt or not wearing a seatbelt does not protect anybody from anybody else but the person not wearing a seatbelt. That's the only thing that matters to me. Scott, can you help me out here?
I'll throw one wrench into your logic. If you worked at an emergency room or you were a trauma surgeon or a nurse or an EMT and you saw the injuries that happen when drunk drivers run into people, that's other people, and the injuries that are caused because somebody's not wearing a seatbelt, you would change your perspective. You still might not wear a seatbelt. But you would change your belief. That was the nature of why.
My safety is my personal choice, and that's the way I stand on it. Thank you very much for taking my call.
I got a feeling Bob's just not going to wear a seatbelt. And Bob's sometimes I don't. Sometimes
I don't.
I started wearing one when I was 13, was in a crash with my dad, went into the windshield, and my personal choice is I wish I'd had it on, and I've had one on ever since.
Yeah. I know we're running late, but one other quick thing. It's not really just about his own safety. If you're in an accident, and had you had a belt on, you would now not be a vegetable that your whole family has to care for around the clock, or the government, or the insurance company. So it's not just about you. We'll leave it there. I failed to mention you are brought to everybody by Peroni's Pizza.
That's right.
P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, PeroniesPizza.com. Two locations, Florissant, St. Peter's, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., an all-you-can-eat fantastic buffet that on Friday includes Peroni's great chicken wings, Peroni's Pizza, fantastic food, and the sponsor every Thursday of Sky.